You know, when it comes to preaching, I must be a failure. Now, don't say amen. I don't want to hear it. Really. No, really, I must be a failure because people don't get mad at me. Okay? Oh, over the course of 32 years of preaching, I'm sure that someone, somewhere along the way, probably disagreed with something I said or got mildly peeved, but if they did, they didn't say much of anything about it. And I know for a fact that nobody has ever gotten red in the face and stood up and shook their fist and said, "Kill the preacher!" Maybe they wanted to, but they didn't do it. Perhaps you saw the title for the message today and says, This preacher will tick you off. And maybe you thought it was going to talk about me. But no, this preacher it's talking about is Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, by that standard, I definitely am not as good a preacher as Jesus. He made people mad. Look what happened in his hometown. Kathy just read it for us a little while ago. From Luke's, the fourth chapter, Jesus was asked to read that day. He gets up and he reads from the Bible, and then he starts his message. And the first thing he says is, "Today this scripture is fulfilled." And apparently he's such a good speaker and he's so eloquent that the folks there say, "Oh, that's nice. Well, doesn't he speak well? Hey, isn't this Joseph's boy? Here he is. Oh, he come back and he's all grown up. Didn't he turn into a fine young man?" And then he quoted to them a familiar proverb. You probably might say, "Physician, heal yourself." And their reaction could have been, "Yeah, you know, take care of your own. You know, take care of yourself first. That's nice. That's nice, Jesus." But then he kept on talking. And that's when the trouble started. What did he say that ticked them off so badly? Did you get it? Now remember, here they are, the Jews, okay? They think of themselves as what? God's chosen people. They are convinced that God has a very special place and role for Israel, and Gentiles and foreigners and people of other nations, they are outsiders. We're the insiders, God's chosen. They are the unholy, the unrighteous, and the less we have to do with them, the better. We're not even sure that God likes those folks, those outsiders. But what does Jesus talk about? From the Bible, he pointed out that God was quite happy to bless, to redeem, and to work wonderfully in the lives of some outsiders, such as, he said, the Gentile widow and her son that Elijah gave food to in 1 Kings 17. And then Jesus said, you know, there were an awful lot of lepers in Israel, but who did God choose to heal of leprosy? Why, it was Naaman, a Syrian army officer. Whoa! What was their reaction? Their blood pressure shot up. They got to fuming. The people of Nazareth believed that when the Messiah came, when this scripture is fulfilled, man, he's going to throw the Gentiles out. He's going to kick them out. He's going to crush them under his feet, and then he'll put us in charge. That's what they thought was going to happen. And now he's saying something like this. I'll bet they said to him, "What? You think God loves and deals with Gentiles as much as he does us Jews? What are you, some kind of Gentile lover?" Oh my. When I tick people off, the first thing I want to do is smooth it over. I want to explain myself, okay? I want to soften the reaction in some way or another. Gosh, I don't want anyone mad at me. I don't want anyone mad at the church. Let me see if I can rephrase that or put it in another way that doesn't get you mad. Maybe everybody can just kind of calm down here. But I ask you this question. Does Jesus do that? Does Jesus backtrack? Does Jesus try to soften it? Does he apologize? Does he explain himself? Does he try to soften things? No, we don't see him do that, do we? Not at all. A few weeks ago, a pastor friend of mine posted on Facebook some quote from a fundamentalist preacher who said something he thought was pretty harsh. And then my friend said in his remarks about whatever that preacher said, he said, you know, Jesus never stepped on people's toes. I couldn't help myself. I just had to post something back in response and point out, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He did it a lot. He did it here in the fourth chapter of Luke, didn't he? And you read your Bible, he did it over and over again to the Pharisees and the religious rulers and the people with their noses in the air. Man, he stomped on their toes. He even did it with his close friends, his followers, when they're arguing among themselves who's the greatest among them. He gets on their case. And he even did it with his closest friend, Peter, who when he was advocating Satan's position, Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, if that's not stomping on somebody's toes, I don't know what is. But Jesus did it time and time again. Have you ever read in the Bible where Jesus apologized? Said he was sorry for what he said? Never. Never. He is definitely not a people pleaser. Oh, I know. Sure, he is kind. He is caring. He is gentle. Whenever the tender touch of God is needed, he's got it for you there. That's definitely there in Jesus. But also, he is rough. He is blunt. He's combative. He's confrontational when God's demanding presence is required. Agreed? That's Jesus. Now, as far as presenting Jesus to folks, the great preacher Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote that preaching allows the risen Christ to walk among his people. See, that's what preachers really do in a sermon when they're doing it well. They just cut Jesus loose, okay? And Luke reminds us today that when Jesus walks or talks among the people, well, then that's where the trouble begins. Barely 3 minutes into his sermon, and the hometown folks in Nazareth just are so angry, they want to kill him. Throw him off a cliff. Church growth guru Paul Borden says that preachers need to insert Jesus into the conversation and then relinquish control. Just let him go. We need Jesus, bring up Jesus in our conversation with other people, our friends and our neighbors, and just let him go. Walk where he's going to walk and talk to who he's going to talk to, but let Jesus get on through. You know, I confess that that's kind of a difficult thing to do, you know. Preachers are communicators. They want to lessen the friction between God and the congregation or Jesus and his followers, you know. We don't want any friction, do we? And we think we failed if people rise up and yell, "Hey, don't talk that way to us!" But is that a failure? Because Jesus doesn't care if he ticks people off. If they needed to hear that God isn't as concerned with insiders and outsiders as they were concerned, well, he was jolly well going to say it, and they were going to hear it. Nobody would shut him up. So the question for you today is simply this. Are you willing to listen to Jesus no matter what he says to you? Are you willing to let Jesus have his say, no matter where that takes you? Those are tough questions. Have you ever heard some preacher somewhere say something to the effect, "Wherever Jesus encounters people, he filled them with a great sense of peace. He who calmed the angry waves in the storm calmed troubled spirits of people too." You ever hear a pastor say that? To an extent, it's true. And then on the other hand, it wonders if the guy has read all of the New Testament, or like Luke 4 here, you know? True, Jesus often had a calming effect on people. He did still the stormy sea. But Jesus also stirred things up big time And he leads his followers through stormy seas. Doesn't he? He goes through the stormy seas and he says, God, y'all follow me. Yeah, it's rough waters, isn't it? How about that? Follow me. We're going to stir things up. Jesus still does that in our church and in every church. Jesus continues to stir things up, start trouble, evoke angry responses. Wherever the gospel is preached faithfully, said Luther, demons are loose. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if you heard this, that Jesus ticked off people, and I wouldn't be surprised if you said to yourself, well, yeah, of course, he ticked off those people in Nazareth. I can understand that, but you know, Jesus, he doesn't tick off me. Oh, really? Really? How about in the Sermon on the Mount? Just take that one section of stuff that Jesus said for us to do. You can find it in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. Go back and read it sometime. Seriously. There's a whole lot of stuff that you disagree with in there. And if you were honest with yourself, you'd say, Jesus, come on, you really tick me off. Why are you telling me stuff like this? I don't want to be poor in spirit. I like confidence and high self-esteem. Come on, Jesus. Who wants to be meek? That's just inviting people to step on you. I don't like that. I don't want to be persecuted for my faith, Jesus. I'd rather lay low and avoid trouble and not get picked on. And I don't know why Jesus sets these high expectations for me. How good should we be? He says, be as good as the Pharisees. And they were good folks, very careful about what they did and what they said. And then he said, shoot higher than that. You be as good as God. You be as complete as God. You be as holy as God. That ticks me off. That doesn't get me off the hook at all. And you know, he said, not even to call somebody else a fool. And you know, I do that all the time. Might use a different word. But don't even call somebody a fool, says Jesus. And that turn the other cheek business, man, that turns me off. I'd rather shove them back, give them what they deserve, you know, put them in their place. That's what I'd rather do. Go the second mile? Ha! I don't want to give an inch, you say. Love my enemies? Those idiots? Oops, wait a minute. I did it again, right? But hey, no way. Sell all I have and give it to the poor? Jesus, are you kidding? Those welfare queens are just lazy moochers. Why don't they help themselves? Don't judge others. Follow the hard and narrow way. Stop trying to be in control and let God be in charge. And you mean that some nasty, no good, low life son of a gun is going to be forgiven and get into heaven too? No fair. I'm better than him. Why should he be forgiven too? How many ways does Jesus tick you off? It's probably a dozen, isn't it? If you're honest about how you feel about what he says to do. And that's why you just ignore him. You don't really get mad at him. You just ignore him on these big things. Now, in our sharing of Christ with people, we're not just dispensing little helpful advice, okay? And we are not just offering little achievable life achievements, all right? That's not what we're offering in Jesus. We're offering a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't create it. You didn't make it happen, but it's a gift. And it's a wonderful gift. But if you receive it, it'll stir your life up and you will have all sorts of trouble. If you don't preach that, then you're not really relevant as God wants you to be. You know, I thought it was interesting. The psychologist Scott Peck used to say that people get married for two reasons: to have babies and to have friction. You're married, you can relate to that, right? To have babies and to have friction. He was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but he's right, right? Perhaps then that's the major purpose of our being born again in Christ and in our faith. It's to give birth to new Christians and new ideas and new ways of looking at things and new experiences and having friction with this world, rub it the wrong way because the world's going the wrong way. Therefore, we're going to have friction. And we ourselves are going to have friction from Jesus. He kind of has to slap us around. He has to jerk us around and get us where he wants us to be. And in doing so, he just might tick us off. And we might tick people off with what we have to say about Jesus. Weren't things real peaceful and quiet in that upper room in the book of Acts, the second chapter? What were they doing? Read in the book of Acts, they're praying. Praying's a pretty quiet affair. Maybe people were talking out loud, but things are all calm and nice. And then God shows up, the Holy Spirit, and what happens? Well, the doors get busted off the hinges. The room starts to shake, rattle, and roll. This wind goes flying through the room, and suddenly somebody yells, "Fire! Fire!" Because that's what they see. And then everybody's talking at the same time in languages that they can understand. Everybody's talking. Oh, it's chaos. It spills out into the streets. And when they get out into the streets, the crowd out there thinks, "These guys are drunk. What a bunch of drunks. What a mess." When God shows up. Oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit does exactly the same thing that Jesus does, right? Sometimes when God shows up, he has to bring things together that need to be brought together. And other times when it's the right thing to do, he busts it all apart because it needs to be busted apart. We have an amazing God, don't we? Absolutely amazing. This is true. There were some seminary students who were engaged in a discussion in a preaching class. And one of the members of the class had preached last Sunday in his church, and he was rather upset because a number of the members of his rural church expressed anger about the things he was talking about from the Bible. As a matter of fact, he said, one guy got up and walked out before the singing of the last hymn. He was so mad. Now, the other class members were attempting to be helpful to this seminary student, and they started talking about maybe some things that this young preacher might have done wrong. And, had he overstated his arguments in the sermon? Had he not spent enough time with the people to build relationships and to gain their trust? Or perhaps maybe he'd spoken in too harsh a language or too rough a tone. You know, what was it? Well, the crusty old preaching professor just listened to this for a while, and then he spoke up. And he said, "Did it ever occur to you that perhaps what he did wasn't wrong? It was right? I'm bothered by the assumption that many of you seem to have that there is some way to talk about Jesus without getting hurt for doing so. Let me assure you, none of you are smarter than Jesus. Jesus got in trouble for his preaching, so will you." You are preaching Jesus, aren't you? You're not preaching. You're sharing about him. You're talking about him. You're setting his standards forth in the world, in your life, by what you do and what you say. Well, tell you what. Jesus ticked people off. And if you share Jesus faithfully, so will you. So will you.